Please be aware the stories, theories, reenactments, and language in this podcast are of an adult nature and can be disturbing, frightening, and in some cases offensive. Therefore, listener discretion is advised. You know what? There's adult content ahead and you've been warned. Welcome, heathens. Welcome to the world of the weird and the unexplained. I am your host, Nicole Delacroix, and together we will be investigating stories about the weird, wonderful, unexplained, eerie, scary, and downright unbelievable. There will be tales of ghosts, murder, supernatural beings, and unexplained mysteries. So, sit back, grab your favorite drink, relax, and prepare to be transported to today's Dark Enigma. And on today's Dark Enigma, we're looking into bizarre accounts of seeing double. And no, I'm not talking about that great double vision you get from drinking too much. We're talking doppelgangers. So, with that said, we will still be playing our drinking game, but with a little twist. But we'll get to that in a moment. As you know, the drinking game is only for those of us that are at home and have nowhere else to go tonight. The choice of libation is yours, so choose your poison accordingly. All right, now for the game parts. How about every time I say doppelganger, that will be a single shot, and every time I say German, that'll be a double shot. Now for the twist, my darlings. Pick a second alcohol for a very special shot. That's right. Whenever I mention a well-known person from history, that will be a shot from your second alcohol choice so that we get some double vision going on. That's right. It's a double shot of love from me straight to you, my darlings. So let's jump in. All right. Now that the business end is out of the way, we can jump headfirst into today's Dark Enigma and the bizarre and shadowy world of doppelgangers. It has become sort of a colloquial expression to say someone is a doppelganger if they simply just look like you. Yet the origins of this term, and indeed the entire phenomenon behind it, are cloaked in a veil of myth, mystery, and high strangeness beyond what you might expect. This is a world in which spirits, or demons, from beyond, take the form of people, in which individuals bilocate to other places to exist in two places at once, are followed about by shadow copies of themselves, or project themselves into other locations through means we may never understand, and in which spectral clones of ourselves, or even evil twins, run amok. Mwahaha. As we will see, sometimes when someone says you are the spitting image of another, it could possibly have rather bizarre connotations and implications. The word doppelganger itself originally derives from the German phrase double goer. And rather than denoting one who simply bears a striking resemblance to another, the origin of the word is steeped in the world of the strange and supernatural itself. The myths and legends orbiting the doppelganger phenomena are varied. In some traditions, they were considered to be shadow selves, ghostly twins that follow their owners around and which all of us possess, although they rarely make themselves known. These shadow beings were often said to be harbingers of bad luck, hardship, illness, disaster, and death, and it was never thought to be a good thing if one were to see their own doppelganger. In other traditions, the doppelganger is a supernatural entity, such as a spirit or demon, which takes the form of a person for inscrutable purposes, and other tales describe them as a physical manifestation of a person's spirit, a sort of extension of them, given form in the physical world. Doppelgangers are said to be indistinguishable from their double, and usually are imparted with all of the same knowledge and memories. They are said to appear either directly, fully interacting with the world as their double would, often in an entirely different location, or to simply make themselves known fleetingly in the periphery of the vision. In some eerie cases, they are known to have the unsettling habit of blinking into existence behind a person as they look into a mirror, hiding on the edges of our known reality. It is not uncommon to hear tales of a doppelganger interacting and talking with the friends and family of a person in a different place as if they were that person, totally unbeknownst to anybody involved, especially the person being copied. Although it is said that these shadowy imposters have mostly nefarious intents and agendas, haunting their owners and being very much the evil twin, they are said to also on occasion help their double, doing tasks, taking care of business, doing chores, and more or less acting as a sort of surrogate body for the host. Although this may all sound like pure myth and spooky folklore, there are many well-known and documented real cases throughout history of people encountering their own mysterious doppelgangers, and these reports are often imbued with a surreal bizarreness. Many of the people who have reported being confronted or even stalked by their doppelganger are far from raving lunatics, and these kinds of reports have come from numerous notable historical figures. Ahem, get that second shot ready. None other than Queen Elizabeth I of England, who ruled from 1558 to 1603, allegedly once saw her doppelganger lying in her bed as if dead. The experience apparently deeply troubled the usually level-headed rational ruler, and making things even more ominous is that she supposedly died not long after reporting the incident, just as the sinister legend predicts. A similar story involving royalty and their doppelganger is that of the great and famous 18th century Russian empress, Catherine the Great. According to the tale, Catherine was in her private quarters when some startled servants saw her and wondered how she could be there when they had just spotted her entering the throne room just moments before. Curious as to what they were talking about, Catherine then allegedly went to the throne room and was met by the sight of her exact double sitting upon the throne as if she had every business in the world being there. Supposedly, the Empress ordered her men to fire upon the strange intruder, after which the imposter purportedly dematerialized into thin air. Chillingly, just as had happened with Queen Elizabeth I, Catherine the Great died not long after encountering her doppelganger. Is there any relation to this? No one knows for sure. The rich and royal are far from the only ones to have been allegedly haunted by their wraith-like doppelgangers. The 16th century poet John Donne claimed that he saw the doppelganger of his wife as he was visiting Paris. The somewhat spectral woman was holding a newborn baby, which was eerie as Donne's wife had been expecting a child at the time. Allegedly, Don's wife would tragically give birth to a stillborn baby at around the exact time that Don had seen the ghostly apparition. Then we have the well-known German writer, poet, and politician Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. Also had a rather bizarre encounter one day in the late 18th century as he was traveling down a dark, lonely road on his way to Drusenheim after visiting a lady friend, because he was a playa. At one point, another traveler approached going the other way, and as the stranger came closer, Goethe claimed that it had turned out to be a man looking exactly the same as him, only wearing a dark gray suit trimmed with gold. The mysterious double continued on his way as if he hadn't even noticed Goethe, and the whole thing was not just a little creepy, although he would later claim that it had also been strangely soothing. Weirdly, Goethe would be traveling down the same road 8 years later in the opposite direction, and as the memory of the strange incident overtook him, he suddenly realized that he was wearing the exact same distinctive gold trim suit that his doppelganger had been wearing at the time. Interestingly, Goth also supposedly had the experience of seeing the doppelganger of a friend of his named Frederick, who he saw walking along the street in the rain, only to find him back at home wearing the same clothes but totally dry, and claiming he had not been out walking about at all. Another well-known tale of a doppelganger also has its ties to the literary world in the form of Percy Bysshe Shelley, who was a poet and more famously the husband of famed author Mary Shelley, the author of the classic Frankenstein. The man seemed to be absolutely plagued by his doppelganger, confiding to his wife on June 23rd of 1822 about his many strange encounters with his enigmatic double. Perhaps the spookiest such encounter was when he told her that he had been out on the terrace and seen his ghostly twin calmly standing there. The doppelganger then apparently turned to him and asked, "How long do you mean to be content?" Corroborating that the seemingly far-out tale was a sighting of Percy Shelley's doppelganger by Mary Shelley's friend Jane Williams, who claimed that she had seen Percy walk down a street she knew led to a dead end, and then strangely pass once again from the same direction, but that he had not come back out. Creepily, Percy himself would later claim to have been nowhere near that street at the time. Percy also claimed that he often saw his double looming over him when he was ill, its face blossoming from shadows and darkness to randomly startle him, and that these encounters had become more intense in recent days. Ominously, Percy Shelley would die in July of 1822 in a storm as he was sailing from Leghorn to La Spezia, Italy, on July 22, 1822, almost exactly a month after telling his wife of his doppelganger. Another writer menaced by a supernatural double was the great French writer Guy de Maupassant, 1850-1893, who towards the end of his life claimed that he had frequently been visited by his doppelganger, who would often talk and interact with him. One day, things took a sinister turn when de Maupassant was sitting at work writing a story called The Horla, when his doppelganger had apparently entered the room, calmly taken a seat next to him, and began dictating what the author was writing until the unnerved man called to his servant in a panic and the double vanished. Bizarrely, this particular story he had been working on is about a man being haunted by an evil entity that plans to turn him insane and take over his body. Almost prophetically, Maupassant is said to have gradually lost his grip on sanity in the years after finishing the story. As his mental state further deteriorated, Maupassant was allegedly visited by his doppelganger again, with the entity sitting in his room and bearing its face in its hands as if in abject despondency. Maupassant would later be admitted to an insane asylum, where he would eventually die around a year after this weird last encounter, perhaps with thoughts of the doppelganger still dancing through his head. Maupassant would write about his doppelganger experience in his short story, Louis. Moving beyond the world of royalty and writers, there's a fair number of others who have had these bizarre doppelganger experiences as well, and perhaps one of the most famous is the great American president Abraham Lincoln himself. On the very day of his election in 1860, just after he had been told that he was now President of the United States, Lincoln had apparently been sitting on a sofa at home when he looked into a full-length mirror and saw himself standing there within it, only, oddly, with two faces, one paler than the other, cast over with an almost deathly pallor. Startled and a bit unsettled, Lincoln stood up to approach the mirror, and the apparition had promptly vanished. The disconcerted president sat back down on the sofa, only for his own two-faced visage to materialize within the mirror once again. The incident would disturb Lincoln, who went on to tell his wife, Mary Todd Lincoln, about it. A few days later, the doppelganger in the mirror would appear again, and Lincoln's wife became increasingly convinced that it was a portent of bad things to come, and that it meant he would be elected to a second term, but would not live through it. The incident was written of in a book by Noah Brooks, who claimed to have heard it firsthand from Lincoln himself, and who wrote about it in his Washington in Lincoln's Time, 1895. In keeping with the sinister portents of doppelgangers, President Abraham Lincoln would die 1 month into his second term, just as his wife had feared. Another man of political power who witnessed a doppelganger was British Parliament member Sir Gilbert Parker, who in 1906 was attending a debate and spied fellow Parliament member Sir Frederick Carney Roche sitting amongst them. At the time, Roche was supposedly at home very sick with the flu, and so his presence at the meeting was surprising to everyone present. The startled Parker approached Roche and asked if he was feeling better, but the man seemed to simply completely ignore him. Thinking it all rather odd, Parker went back to his own seat, but when he looked back to where Roche had been sitting moments before, the man was gone. Other Parliament members also remembered Roche being there at the debate, but no one knew where he had gone off to, and no one in the lobby had seen Roche pass by. When he was contacted at home, Roche claimed that he had been very sick in bed the whole time and had not been present at the debate. Although his family feared that it was an ominous harbinger of death, Roche would survive the appearance of his doppelganger and would even humorously joke that he was sorry that he hadn't died, but that he would try and do better next time. Equally as strange was an incident experienced by Dr. Wynne Westcott of the British Museum of London. On April 12, 1888, Westcott and a Reverend W.T. Lemon had an appointment at the reading room of the museum, and Lemon arrived to find Westcott talking with a Mrs. Salmon, who excused herself to greet the Reverend. When they both looked back over to where Westcott was, he was gone without a trace. They looked everywhere, but he was nowhere to be seen, and when they asked around, the receptionist informed them that Dr. Westcott had indeed arrived but had never left. Many others who were present also remembered seeing Westcott, but did not know where he'd gotten off to. When Lemon and Mrs. Salmon went to visit Westcott at his home, they were startled to learn that he had been seriously sick in bed all day and had never left the house. Now, one of the weirdest cases of an alleged doppelganger is that of a certain French woman named Amélie Seguy, who in 1845 was a teacher at an exclusive girls' school in Latvia. Although she was considered to be a reliable and capable teacher, she had oddly gone through 19 different teaching positions in 16 years, and this may have been largely in part to the doppelganger that was said to follow her around. In her new school, rumors quickly spread that the popular teacher had a strange habit of being in two places at once, often in the same room and in front of many witnesses. One such situation happened one day during Seguy's French class, when she was writing something on the board and her ghostly twin appeared beside her to mimic all of her motions. The doppelganger was described as looking completely identical, right down to every piece of clothing, and seemed to be quite corporeal. It was not only during class when the strange entity would suddenly manifest itself to copy her movements, and it was seen at times as Seguy ate or she walked along. In every instance, Seguy herself was unable to see the apparition, although students claimed that they could clearly see it as though it was a living, breathing person. Seguy claimed that during these odd episodes, she felt tired and somewhat drained of energy. There were also many claims at this time that Seguy would often be seen roaming the school halls, even though she was later found to have been in her office the whole time or even at home fast asleep. In one case, the doppelganger appeared before a group of students of a sewing class to sit silently in the teacher's chair, even though the real Seguy was allegedly outside visibly working in the garden. Students who had warily approached the entity said that they could pass through it, although it was noted to have a certain density to it, like thick fabric, or like the stuff cobwebs are made of, after which it vanished in full view of around 50 startled students. In total, hundreds of students would come forward claiming to have witnessed Sagi's doppelganger in action, and she was eventually dismissed amongst growing fear and complaints, despite the fact that she had been considered a model teacher. Another such account concerns an apparent doppelganger of a girl attempting to lure a young woman to her death. The witness tells of how she and her family had been out on one day in 2015 hunting for seashells out on a beach when her 4-year-old daughter said she wanted to continue even though the weather was starting to look like a storm was brewing. The woman's older daughter had gone off to have lunch at a nearby cottage, and soon after, the 4-year-old also went off to join them. The woman made sure her youngest daughter had caught up to them and then went back to seashell hunting. She says she walked for a further 20 minutes before the waves started to get more treacherous and the weather stormier, and she started to make her way back. At this point, the woman explains that she had a sudden feeling of inexplicable dread, and then looked out to see the very same 4-year-old daughter she had just sent on her way out in the rough sea struggling for her life. She would say of what happened next, and I quote, "I have never seen such a rough sea, and so I turned back with a feeling of unexplained dread. I couldn't shake it. I looked out into the ocean, and I could have sworn I saw my 4-year-old drowning in the waves. I knew with absolute certainty that she was safe back in the cottage with her father and siblings, but yet there she was, drowning in the rough seas. I started wading into the water to try to help her. I was in a total state of panic. I was crying and absolutely hysterical. I knew that if I went in the water, I would drown. But there I was going, even though I knew that it wasn't really my baby out there. I felt like something wanted me to go into the water, so I would die. I had to fight the instinct to help her. Keep in mind that the thing in the water was the spitting image of her. I took off running to the cottage, crying the entire time. My young daughter greeted me at the door. I was never in my life so happy to see her. To this day, I am convinced that the thing in the water was her doppelganger, trying to lure me to my own death. I know they say that you can only see your own double, but I wonder. I hope I never have this happen again. I hope this never happens to anybody who is listening to this. And the desire to go into the water was stronger than any force I have ever known." So, was this the doppelganger of the woman's daughter going about its nefarious purpose of bringing death? Who knows? Some stories of creepy doppelgangers read more like a ghost story of some sort. One Reddit user wrote of a bizarre and harrowing experience with what appears to have been some sort of evil version of her grandmother. The witness says that this happened when she was around 15 years old, and at the time she had a grandmother who was always in her room cleaning up. One day the witness came home to find the grandmother simply sitting there, staring at the closet without moving. The witness would say of what happened next, and I quote, "She wasn't moving at all. It was like she was suspended in the middle of cleaning the closet. I asked her if she was okay, but she totally ignored me. My 85-year-old grandmother just continued to stare into the closet. Suddenly, she turned her head slowly toward me and gave me the coldest of stares. She had the evilest eyes I had ever seen. A chill ran up and down my spine. Those were not my grandma's eyes, I thought. Then she looked away from me and walked into my closet, closing the door behind her. But when I went into the closet, she wasn't there. She had literally disappeared into thin air, completely gone. I froze for a few seconds. Then I yelled for her and heard her say, 'I'm down here in the kitchen. Dinner's almost ready.' I ran to the kitchen to find her standing there cooking away. Then I asked her if she was there the whole time. 'Of course I was, dear. Dinner's not going to make itself,' she laughed. I mean, she had no idea what had gone on upstairs. What did I find in my bedroom that day? I still have no idea." Other accounts are hard to categorize as a genuine doppelganger report or something else. Another Reddit account comes from the user Trey, who gives an account just as bizarre as it is terrifying. He claims that in 2005, he was alone in his house at around 7 a.m. when he suddenly felt tired for no discernible reason and decided to take a nap. He awoke at around 9:15 a.m. and went to the bathroom, where he at first didn't see his reflection in the mirror. Thinking this a bit odd, he did a double take and then his reflection was there. But it was off somehow. The witness describes the rest of the encounter as this, and I quote, "I had a white shirt, and my reflection had a blue shirt. My eyes, iris, are hazel, a brownish-greenish-amber-like color. My reflection's was blood red. It was staring at me covered in blood. It was looking so evilly like he wanted to kill me. I couldn't move away. I was frozen still." This is where it gets horrible. The reflection starts talking to me. It starts saying, "Why are you afraid of yourself?" I couldn't talk, but I tried to reply to it in my mind. I said, "Myself, I linger inside of you. I am the one who will corrupt you." Now I started to worry because now I know it has control over my body. I said, "Where did you come from?" It replies, "I am from all of the hatred you have over everything which I feed from for power, and soon I will have enough to kill you." So I said, "If you're a part of me, right, killing me means you die too." Saying this ticks the thing off. Now it's grinning and chuckling. "You are correct, but you are still a fool." Its hands looked like it was reaching out of the mirror towards me, and it touched my shoulder. I felt dizzy as if I lost a lot of blood. Then it said, "You will see what I will become, but first, see what I am now." The vision he showed me was so horrible, I never told my family. It was some sort of deformed beast with four eyes and a big horn. Its left arm was bony and little, while the right was big and pulsing. Its legs were connected like a big tail, and it looked like it was growing. It looked decayed and rotten, but it was alive. And the vision disappeared. The thing in the mirror yelled, "Be gone!" I had my control back, and I ran outside my house and waited for my parents to come home. Ooh, that one was creepy. The idea of evil doubles or doppelgangers in general may sound like pure folklore and fantasy, but there are many accounts of supposedly real encounters with such beings. The paranormal author Victoria Brandon described being nearly run down by her evil spiritual twin. She claims that she had been driving one day and turned a corner to have a truck come careening towards her on the wrong side of the road. As Brandon veered out of the way, she noticed that the driver was a double of herself and that she had an evil smile on her face. And throughout the whole episode, she reported experiencing a thick malevolence and negativity emanating from the double, as well as an eerie sense of quiet and suspension of normal thought, which did not abate until she had sped off. Then, there is even a case of Rod Sterling, of Twilight Zone fame. Seeing a man at an airport who looked exactly like him, and who had been carrying exactly the same kind of luggage, who would go on to inspire the episode Mirror Image, concerning, of course, doppelgangers. How can we explain such strange phenomena? And who are these mysterious race that seem to copy people's every detail? There have been many ideas on what could be going on here, ranging from the rational to the bizarre. The most mundane idea is that these are merely hallucinations, some sort of mental glitch, or the effects of profound mental issues such as schizophrenia, but this would not explain those cases of doppelgangers that were clearly witnessed by other people. There is a certain innate spookiness to the idea of an evil version of ourselves, or of someone out there who looks just like us running amok and causing trouble. It is unsettling to know that there may be someone, or something, wearing our face and going about life, and even more so if they are up to no good. Interestingly, the idea of a duplicitous, supernatural twin version of us has been around for a really long time. And far from just scary stories, there have been many accounts of people actually encountering alternate versions of themselves who seem to be less than benign. The concept of this duality and the idea of an alternate opposite version of oneself goes way back. In ancient Egypt, there was the ka, or spirit double, which were perfect duplicates of a person down to every single memory. In Native American cultures, there were many stories of such spiritual doubles, which were seen as reflections of a person from the afterlife and often nefarious. Old Scottish tales tell of the Trow, who were malicious spirits who came to steal babies and replace them with imposters. Norse mythology has its Vardogur, which was a double that was said to appear and perform actions before the actual person came and actually did it. Many cultures also speak of these doubles being reflections of the soul, often showing our darker sides, which can be perceived in mirror reflections or even photographs. Shadows often come into play in these tales, with doppelgangers often said to not cast a shadow, which is usually seen as a bad omen and is linked to the widespread belief in many cultures that a person's shadow is a sort of extension of them, with the shadow being the dark version of their being. Although the doppelganger is not always equated to death and misery or harbingers of doom, it often is, and such tales of malevolent doubles tend to be very numerous in these stories. Such tales of more malicious spirit doubles tend to share several commonalities. For instance, these entities are often said to exude some form of negative energy or vibe, such as heavy feelings of fear, dread, or panic, regardless of whether they actually behave in a threatening manner. They will often avert their faces, hide them with hair or hats, or otherwise try to remain in the shadows or obscure themselves somehow. But if they are seen, their eyes will exhibit a sinister quality, or they will sport a maniacal or insane grin. They will almost never directly interact with or speak with their double, except to extend some ill will or lure them into danger. Another is just as Miss suggests, that these are spirits or race of some kind that mimic and stalk their quarry. There is also the theory that these strange doppelgangers could in fact be living ghosts, or projections of a person's spirit through a process that we may never understand. More outlandish ideas point to these apparitions being in fact past or future versions of a person that have somehow traveled through dimensions or a time slip of some sort that makes themselves visible. There is also the theory of the phenomena of what is called bilocation, wherein a person is somehow able to appear in more than one place at once. There are many such accounts, and they all connect to the idea that there is some shadowy, evil version of ourselves lurking about on the periphery of our understanding. We seem to be drawn to these tales of some double of us, some copy that embodies all of our worst traits, or which seeks to stir up despair, fear, or chaos. Is there anything to such tales, or are they all firmly rooted in folklore and the imagination? Do any of these explanations have any merit? Are we dealing with ghosts, phantoms, bilocation, interdimensional oddness, or mental projections materializing into the real? Or is this just flights of fancy and crossed brain circuits? Is there anything to this beyond simple myth and legend? It certainly gives one pause when one is told that they look just like someone else. Perhaps there is more going on than just a strong resemblance. Whatever the case may be, it may certainly give one pause when walking down the street one day to pass one's spitting image. If it happens, you may want to take a look over your shoulder, just in case. And don't spend too much time looking in the mirror, or your reflection may just wave back at you. And with that, my darlings, we've come to the end of our episode, and I thank you for joining me here today. I hope you'll take some time to reach out to me, or my evil twin, and share your thoughts on what you think. You can always reach the show and myself at darkenigmapodcast@gmail.com. And if you have suggestions for a future show, or you just want to tell me what you think, drop me a line, because I do reply to all emails. And before I go tonight, I want to let you guys know that I have been working on a new podcast for you guys. I'm hoping you'll listen, and I haven't decided when I'm going to post it yet, but I'll tell you more on that later. So keep your eyes peeled for it, because I think you guys are going to love it. All right, my darlings. On that note, that's all the time I have for you this evening. Thank you for joining me here on Renegade Talk Radio, and don't forget to tune in next time, my darlings. See you, my heathens. I love you. You and your evil doubles.
We don't sugarcoat shit. This is Renegade Talk Radio. Renegade Talk Radio.